and welcome to the 44th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I am your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp, and I'm joined today by one very special temporary guest host. Joining us for the second time is the man who has popped off on YouTube. We have Little Dark Fury, aka LDF.
What's up? Thanks for having me back on again. I'm excited to kind of talk about Brilliant Stars today.
Thank you for being here. And I guess I sold you a little short there too. Your YouTube is popping off, but your Twitch is also absolutely massive.
Thanks.
So the plan is, and LDF alluded to a little bit, we're going to talk about some Brilliant Stars. We're going to start with some new decks that we are excited to try coming out in the set, but also some old decks that we are looking forward to revisiting with some of the cool new cards that are coming out. And then, of course, we'll get into some questions from Twitch chat. So, LDF, I'm going to put the ball in your court immediately and say, what is that number one deck release day that Thursday? You crack open your packs on Twitch or wherever you're doing it. You're going to upload to YouTube immediately. What is that first deck?
It has to be like an Arceus V-Star deck, to be honest. Like, that's the thing, like, with Arceus is, like, there's no, like, one good Arceus deck, I feel like, because the card is so versatile that you could put it with anything. And it could be even, like, be its own archetype, like Quad Arceus with, like, the new Charon supporter, the new DTE Double Color Synergy. So, like, I'm excited for that to come out because you could literally play with anything. So, like, and also the thing is, too, is it's V-Star power. Like, I'm probably going to be experimenting with that with, like, a few Stage 2 decks because, you know, you could just be like, all right, I'll use Arceus V-Star Power, get Rare Candy, Evolution Incense, and get the Stage 2 and play online right away. Like, there's just so much potential for that card to just, like, improve so many different matchups. And it'll help you, too, against, like, bad draws because, like, oh, I have the Arceus. I could just use this ability, grab any two cards I want, and then I could just get the ball rolling. So it's going to make the game more like consistent, and it's also going to improve stuff that have a hard time setting up in the kind of fast-paced meta we're in right now.
I've never heard anyone mention putting it together with Stage 2s. It makes sense. But yeah, now that's the direction I want to go. Which Stage 2s do you want to pair it with?
I mean, there's so many. I think the first one that I kind of want to look at is the Single Strike Cinderace. Because I think that card is kind of cool because it does more damage the more prizes I think you or your opponent take. And obviously, you also get like Single Strike Energy. Plus, with the new Choice Band coming back in the format, and we also have Karen's Conviction, that card can probably start reaching 1 KOs in like the mid to late game. Kind of like how like Galarian Moltres does for like those Dark Box decks, where it kind of just hits like a truck really late in the game. And like to get that deck kind of rolling, I feel like you could use Arceus' ability, you know, get your Rare Candy, get your Cinderace. Yeah, but honestly, there's any like Stage 2 deck it can probably be good in. I think you can use it with like the new Torterra too, if you kind of want to go down that route. Because I guess Arceus V-Star counts as an evolution in a way. So the Torterra, I think, does more damage with the Arceus.
Oh, that's true. What is the ruling has to be, right? Like, it's not a Stage 1, but it is an evolution still, because you can Evo Incense for...
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, because I've tried out Nidoqueen from Team Up with like Orbital VMAX, and Orbital VMAX counted as an evolution for Nidoqueen. So I think it should be the same.
I love the idea. One of the things you mentioned that I agree 100% that's most exciting about Arceus is the V-Star power and the fact that it means if I have an Arceus turn one and then an Evolution Incense on turn two, I don't brick. Like, I get to play the game. And that feels so good.
I know. Like, the amount of games I just simply lose because my opponent Marnies me into a bad hand or I just don't open up with a supporter. It's like, it feels so bad, but now that we have like Arceus in the format, you know, you can turn Ultra Ball and Evo Incense into like a supporter card essentially. And then also Lumineon in the format too gives you a free supporter. Instead of like being like, I don't have a draw supporter in my opening hand, I can just go Quick Ball for Lumineon for a supporter instead of hoping that Crobat turns into a supporter.
So are you going to put a Lumineon in your decks initially?
Most likely, yeah. Like, the problem with the card is itself. It's like having the Crobat in play. It is a two prize liability. The thing with Arceus V-Star, the reason I think it'll just literally go in any deck is it's not really a liability. It gives up two prizes, but because it has so much HP, it's not like your opponent can just boss it up for a game that easily. Unless you're playing against like Urshifu or something. I'm 50-50 on Lumineon. I think it'll get better maybe as time goes on, or maybe we have to wait for that right supporter card to come out, kind of like Bridget with Tapu Lele, for it to like really pop off. And there's still like reason to play Crobat too. Being able to draw extra cards and play supporter is good. So we'll have to see where kind of Lumineon goes. And also you saw that the Gintalion is still in the format too, like the Shady Dealings engine, which kind of is like a better Lumineon in a way, because it's a single prizer and you got like the busted stage twos, and then you get any trainer, not just a supporter. So I'm curious to see where it'll go. I think Lumineon might pop off after the Shady Dealings rotate out of the format, because I feel like Shady Dealings kind of rival Lumineon's power. But I think it'll definitely see a bit of play in some decks, maybe like Single Strike that already kind of plays Crobat.
I've been kind of going back and forth in my own head for the exact reasons you said, of like, Lumineon's really cool. Lele was very good. Grabbing any support is very good. But also, Shady Dealings kind of does the same thing, but I can't do it on turn one. And turn one is a quarter of the game right now. So it's like...
Yeah, literally.
There's like so much that's like... I'm mm-hmm. like you. I'm excited to see the engines that are going to start popping up.
Same. I think Arceus, V-Star, and Lumineon are going to be like the two like new engines that everybody starts to kind of test with. And it's good to see that, because having like four different engines in the format with like, I guess five, you want to count Genesect. I mean, you got Genesect, Crobat, Shady Dealings, Lumineon, and now we're going to have Arceus V-Star on top of that. It's like, and Bibarel too. There's like six new kind of like engines we can use now when we're building decks, which is a lot better than just like, oh, let me just slam in a 4/4/3 Inteleon line in my deck instead. Yeah. So I think that's going to make the game better, because there's just more options for ways to build your deck, which could create a lot of cool ideas.
Yeah, the fact that you're no longer pigeonholed into, it's like you said, you're like, oh, you just play the Inteleon, it was like, that's a 4/4/3 line, and then you have to play level balls, and then you also have to max out your Evo Incense, and it's like, that becomes a massive, like, just sink.
The amount of times I have built a deck, and I had to play the Inteleon engine to add consistency, it just made the deck way too clunky, and I had like 67 cards in the deck, so I had to make like a lot of like really tough cuts. And now with like Bibarel, like instead of playing Inteleon in like a few stage two decks, you can just play like Bibarel now, because it's like it's good and it's not going to provide as much deck space as Inteleon does. It's just Bibarel's not levelable, which kind of sucks.
It does. But then it also has the synergy with Ultra Ball that feels like something that we see on Twitter all the time, of people are like, I don't think my deck has Ultra Ball in it because I don't want to discard that much. And Bibarel's like, let's just discard everything. It's fine.
Yeah, I wonder how good Ultra Ball will really be, though. In like, I think it'll be good in like a few decks, but I think Evo Incense is honestly like sometimes a better Ultra Ball.
Yes.
Unless you want to like Ultra Ball away like extra resources you don't need anymore. So I don't think every deck will be 4 Quick Ball, 4 Ultra Ball, like in Expanded. It might be like 3 or 2 Ultra Balls and like a few Evo Incense. Because, I mean, there's a lot of competition. You got Quick Ball, Evo Incense, Level Ball, and, you know, Ultra Ball. So it's like pretty thick competition for Ultra Ball. And obviously Fog Crystal and even Battle VIP Pass. You know, so there's a lot of Pokemon search kind of competition right now, I feel like.
And you've been playing for a while, so you remember back when Ultra Ball was like the mandatory four of in every single deck. But like we didn't have, like you said, Quick Ball, Evolution Incense, Level Ball being a viable thing for your engine. So it's, I'm excited to see where it goes, because I think there's going to be, the format won't be solved as quickly, because deck lists have too much, not too many options. That's not a thing, but...
Yeah, I think kind of even when we get to the point where like we're waiting on the next set after Brilliant Stars, we're in that like kind of like period we are right now where the format's figured out and, you know, the game's kind of stale. I think that still new stuff is going to pop up due to the amount of creativity that can be brought with Brilliant Stars. So I think like even late into the set's release, we're still going to see like these like wacky decks come out of nowhere and like start winning tournaments and making a name for themselves.
So going back to Arceus V-Star real quick. So you mentioned the engine of Arceus, which I agree. I love it too. Such a good ability, even if it's once per game. But what about the attackers? So do you want to give some leaks of the first couple of like main attackers you want to try with it, so some of your viewers can slide in your DMs and send you bad lists?
Yeah. I think one of the ones that I've seen recently pop up is the Raichu V that goes with the Arceus V-Star. So it's like Raichu V. I was like thinking, oh, maybe it's good with like Flaffy and like Zapdos and Regieleki, kind of like a lightning toolbox deck. But then it's just like, you could also just play it with Arceus, use Arceus to accelerate energy for Raichu, and then you also have the Flaffies. You can get like out of nowhere like 8 lightnings in play and just start 1-KOing stuff. That's like, I think the one that everyone is kind of talking about right now is the Raichu Arceus build. I mean, you could play it with like anything though. It's insane. You could play it with like, I don't know, there's just too many options, to be honest. Like, any attacker that wants energy in play like that will be just a good partner for Arceus. It's pretty insane just how how many partners there realistically is for that attack. I mean, you could even just play it by itself, like, you know, play by itself, loop the energy, play the Charon. So it's like you hit with the first Arceus, build up another one in the background. That Arceus takes damage. All right, I'm going to Charon, heal it, go into my new Arceus, and then just rinse and repeat that combo over and over again. I mean, I think Arceus with Ice Rider could be good too.
Ooh, that's not one I've ever heard. I actually like that.
I thought about that too, because Ice Rider is one of those decks where you rely so much on like the Melanie, so you're kind of limited to what you can do. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can go like, okay, I can go Ice Rider. You can't boss as easily in that deck because you have to commit so much to the Melanie. So with Arceus V-Star, you could maybe afford to play like Cross Switcher. You can be like Arceus for Cross Switcher and then Max Lance. And then Ice Rider gets Choice Belt, right? So then you have that extra 30 damage. So you can start potentially 1-KO in other V-Stars, and V-Maxes can start getting a, like, even easier to 1-KO.
Actually, like, the more you mention that, the more my mind's running through it. So you have the 280, which is nice. You have the ability to gust now with that, but you also have the double turbo energies, not a terrible play, like, because you have the Arceus in there, but also you can Ride of the High King, which in the single prize matchup, again, gives you the ability to go double turbo energy plus boss something, because single prizers, spoiler to later in the pod, are coming back. Hooray.
Yep.
So that's not a completely useless card, and you can Melanie to the Arceus as well, so those aren't even completely dead cards.
Because exactly.
I'm more into that than I thought I was going to be when you first said Ice Rider, and now I'm like, wait, there's a lot of synergy.
It's like, okay, yeah, that's actually good. Yeah.
I love it. And then the Raichu, for anyone listening, I just have to say this one because I didn't learn what it did until I was watching Celio's stream on Sunday. It does 60 damage for each lightning energy you discard from play. So for 6 lightning energies, you can Oko anything in the game. And for anyone wondering, how are you going to get 6 on the field? And LDF just told me. Use Ultimate Ray, or whatever the attack is called, plus some Flaffies, and you only got to do it twice.
Exactly, yeah. It's a better, well, I wouldn't say it's a better Blacephalon because it doesn't have B-string, but it does more damage, and 60 times actually really relevant numbers, in my opinion. So
no, that's a perfect like amount, right? Because you can KO Vs easily for 4, you can KO V stars for 5, and then you got 6 energies for any V-maxes.
Or V-maxes, yeah, exactly. And so then, you kind of like tempo each one.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so obvious, and I'm just a lightning person being the Pikaron player for
ever. Yeah, that's true.
So outside of Arceus, look, anyone can look at the pack and be like, this is on the pack, it's good. That's how Pokemon does it now. What is that like number 2 thing that is coming new that you're interested to try?
Honestly, I probably want to say Charizard V-Star looks good. Charizard V-Star is probably the second best V-Star in the set. And I'm not like 100% sold on it because being weak to water is still bad. I think there's still enough good water types out there to kind of keep fire, because everyone's hyping fire up again because of the new stadium. But it's like, you got to remember, there are still really good water types in the game right now. Like Suicune is still insanely broken. And then, of course, Ice Rider could get better. And I mean, any water type could just start getting better now because of like all these new cards that like we got.
We did just hype up Arceus Ice Rider, like.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody, you get like Arceus, like Lapras, Arceus Inteleon, like who knows?
Oh my gosh, wait, Lapras could.
Yeah, you just.
Okay, I'm.
Use it to like build up 3 energy, yep.
Yeah, okay, I'm getting more and more into this. Just Arceus as a card sounds super fun.
Literally, yep. Just any deck you can think of, just 2-2 Arceus, and the deck immediately becomes better. It's insane.
I love it.
But yeah, no, I think Charizard definitely will be a pretty solid deck. It'll probably like fill the same niche as something like maybe like Jolteon, where Jolteon's a good deck, but it just kind of auto loses to those fighting decks out there. So it's like, as long as you don't hit your worst matchup like a water deck, you should probably do okay with Charizard V-Star, because it's sort of like a worse Reshizard in a way. And I mean, you could even pair it with Arceus, or once again, you just use Arceus to pull up the Charizard.
Yeah, because that V-Star attack is 320. Right?
Yep.
Oh, that's like, I know it's like, oh, big number go boom, but it's like, that's a really good big number.
Exactly. And you just play Choice Belt, and then you're just like, all right, I'm just going to hit, you know, I'm going to kill the Urshifus, Eternatus even, which Eternatus might get better with this set too.
Yep.
So I think Charizard V-Star is pretty good. Its other attack, like its main one, can do 230 damage if it has damage counters on it. With a Choice Belt, you're KOing normal V Pokemon, and maybe if you were to play like Galarian Goon or something, you can try to like reach for the knockouts on opposing V-Star Pokemon. So I think Charizard V-Star is pretty solid. You can also pair it with a new Entei, so you have like a really nice like backup partner with the new Entei, which is obviously Fire Suicune. And that's like another like big card that like could see play by itself. Like Entei could be the new it could be the new Suicune Ludicolo, because you can use the new stadium, so you don't have to rely on Melanie with like with Suicune. You have a new stadium, so you can have extra supporters instead of just having to rely strictly on Melanie every turn.
That was going to be my follow-up of like, okay, is it just a Charizard deck? Or because I've had people DM me, is Firebox back with the new stadium? Do you think a deck like that exists? Is that your Charizard deck? Or are you going, I'm going big Charizard, go boo?
Firebox definitely seems like probably the better way to play it, because you just have more options for different matchups. I'm not sure like what other fire types could get better, like maybe Senescorch, which you probably wouldn't play in there. It depends on what other good fire types. Maybe like Ninetales V starts seeing play because of its attack to copy other attacks. You can probably use Ninetales to copy Charizard V-Star's attack. So like you can have like a funny mirror match there where you can go V-Star power with Charizard, and maybe Ninetales can copy it too. So you kind of like have two ways to do it. I feel like Ninetales could be like a good tech card in like a Charizard box deck. And maybe even like I was going to say Torkoal V, but it's probably too slow. But all these weird fire type Pokemon we've been getting that have just been trashed because Welder's not in the game anymore could like actually be like something to consider playing in like a fire toolbox deck.
Yeah, it's something like everyone knew that the power creep of Welder attaching two energies on a turn was like kind of ruining fire types.
Yep.
But once we actually see a Welderless world, you're like, oh, completely bothered. They're bad. Yeah.
Yeah, they are bad. The only good one is literally Victini, and that's like about it. Like every other fire type is just like pretty much trash.
Oh yeah, they're all unfortunately incredibly unplayable.
Yep. Like I guess Leonzard is like okay. And that's another card that gets better. Leonzard is another Arceus partner. Arceus ability, get a rare candy Charizard, and then boom, you're popping.
That's actually, do you want to jump into Leonzard before we go to another new deck since we're
here? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I had that listed down too as like good single prize decks.
I agree 100%. I love the idea. Mm-hmm. So jump through your idea of Leonzard, because you've probably played more of it than I have.
Yeah, I've done like 6 or 7 videos on the card, and it's only been out for like over a year. No, Leonzard, the fact is Leonzard is kind of weird because it's like you do 300 damage, so you sometimes have to play a Leon to do that 330 damage. Now that we have Choice Belt in the format, you don't need the Leon from your hand to do that extra damage. And also Choice Belt, now you just like need only 3 Leons to KO other V-Stars. And then V-Maxes can get KO'd with 4 Leons plus the belt. And then also you get the new stadium for the deck too. So you can play the Raihan and the new stadium. On top of that, you also have Arceus, which might just be a good inclusion so that you can just go Arceus for Rare Candy Charizard and then kind of start the Battle Sense train.
I love it. And that Battle Sense is terrifying. If they get 2 of them up, they just deck themselves out and have everything they need every single turn.
Yeah, and if you pair it with like Cinccino or Altaria, you can Altaria for the Leon on top of your deck, discard it with Battle Sense, or Primate Wisdom the Leon on top of your deck also, so you can just like guarantee the Leon with the Battle Sense really early on and start popping off.
So do you think,
so that's like another deck, yeah.
Is Leonzard like a real deck finally?
It honestly might be. It feels like one of like the better stage 2 decks we've seen in the past while, because it does have more consistency than most other stage 2s have. And due to the fact that it's a pretty costless attacker, 2 energy with the new stadium is like pretty easy to kind of manage. And with like Raihan and the fact that it can one hit KO pretty much anything with the right in the right scenario makes it like actually like, yeah, it might be a good deck. Even having 170 HP sometimes is enough to like be good also, I feel like. So we'll have to see kind of how that deck kind of pops off, what kind of build people kind of lean towards. Like, are they gonna play with Cinccino? Are they gonna have Arceus and Altaria? Are they gonna play the Inteleon engine? Could they play with Barrel also, maybe? There's so many ways you could probably build it. I actually do think that Leonzard could finally be like a pretty solid single price deck in the format.
It kind of, for anyone listening who's not like quite aware, there was a time, it was over a year ago by now, but back when the Hexter was a tournament, I remember you played all the Mad Party in the world. And then there was like, out of nowhere, you kept top cutting with Mad Party. And I'm ready to see you do that with Leonzard.
I'm excited. I have Mad Party listed too as another deck that like I'm excited to play again with this new set. Oh yeah, another thing with Leonzard too, since it also gets Manaphy, you don't take like an L to Rapidstrike Urshifu and Jolteon now.
In fact, like you said, the 170 HP, like as soon as you said that, it's like, oh my gosh, the Mad Party match, or not, sorry, the Urshifu matchup could actually be pretty good if you're able to not use the stadium on one of them. They literally cannot KO you. Unless exactly. they get their quick shoot. And then, you know, that's just like so much for them to ask for while you're OKOing mm-hmm. them in return. And it's like, I'm a big fan. I'm like actually a very big fan of this deck existing and yeah. how good it's going to be.
And yeah, that I think definitely could work for sure.
I'm curious about the engine, like you said, because there's this like,
yep.
there's so much of like, Cinchino's very good, but do you need to draw mm-hmm. that much? You could draw play the Inteleon line to get the guaranteed candies. You could play something like the mm-hmm. Bib Arrows with the Arceus as well, because the Bib Arrows is going to draw a lot, but the Arceus gets the guaranteed early game one. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know.
There's I think Charizard might just be the best stage two to kind of get better with this new set out of all the stage twos I'm kind of thinking of. Mm-hmm. I think it actually is Charizard that becomes the best like stage two from the set.
So Leon's Art exists. Charizard V-Star exists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no other Charizard. I was going to say the team-ups art. That card doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, there's Charizard V-Max, but that's we don't talk about that. There's no way that's going to be good yet.
Lance's Charizard?
That's better in Expanded because you can use Volcanion. I tried that out. Actually, it did work.
Oh, I actually believe that. No, because I was talking to someone mm-hmm. about it, and they're like, it's just Double Blaze GX as a regular yep. attack. Like, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you just play with like Volcanion EX, do a couple steam ups, you're doing like 260 damage, play like a choice ban, you're just one-shotting tag teams.
And yeah, as a two prizer, that's kind of disgusting, actually. A two prize
yep.
base.
You can also, yep. Yeah, and you get the ability to donk your opponent sometimes with Welder. So that's like an added benefit.
No, donks and expanded aren't fun. Don't encourage that.
No, yeah.
So outside of the V stars, unless you're going to go into Mimikyu VMAX or something.
Nah.
What else from the new set is of interest? Is this like, ooh, this could be actually a pretty solid deck?
I have my eyes on Torterra as a potential fun deck. There's actually a few ways I've seen it kind of be built. You can play it like kind of just by itself, where it's like you just have Grottles in play and constantly chaining everything, but you play like the Arceus V-Star. Mm-hmm. You could also play it with the Inteleon engine. You could play it with Bibarel. You could play it with Decidueye. You just have like another backup grass Pokemon. And I've seen people pair it with like the new Empoleon that's coming out, where it's like, I think the new Empoleon is like Archie's Ace in the Hole in the form of an ability.
Oh, wait. And that way, every single turn, you can still have six evolution Pokemon on your bench, even after yep. they KO one.
Exactly.
Wait, that I refuse to believe that's good, but I kind of like that.
It could be good. Yeah. I think Torterra is like the second best stage two deck we can probably look at from the new set, apart from Leonzard. Mm-hmm. Because it actually does relevant damage. It has the engine to kind of back it up with Grottle. And it has a lot of ways you can actually play it. You can play it with like even something like Orbital VMAX, where you can like use it for the extra damage, get GMAX wave. Because Torterra is basically like kind of maybe a better Nidoqueen in a way. So I do think Torterra is probably the next best stage two deck. And I'm excited to play it because of all the different ways you can play it. And it's just going to be a fun deck to play because it reminds me of some of those older decks where you just kind of put evolutions in play and do more damage.
Are we playing, Sharam? Or are we playing Rillaboom to accelerate the energy for the grass colorless?
You could do that too. Yeah, you could play like a 1/1 Sharam. You have like Raihan too in the format as like another way to kind of consistently, there's like a ton of ways you could play it. So it's definitely going to be good.
And then for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, because you skip over the stage ones, Grotal's the one time where you don't want to skip over the stage one. Once during mm-hmm. your turn, you may search your deck for a grass Pokemon, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your deck. So it is reminiscent of the old, oh my gosh, I just forgot, the middle stage.
Grovyle.
Thank you. The Grovyle.
Yeah.
The old Grovyle that never actually became a deck, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it just wasn't a good Sceptile, to be honest.
No. It always looked okay. It was like, mm-hmm. it's got a lot of HP and the Sceptile GX. And the attack moves the energy back, which is kind of cool because then you can mix it with Max Potion, though still in the format. And it was just never, mm-hmm. never got there. And then there's Sceptile that blocked Ultra Beast. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And yeah, the deck didn't go anywhere. Yeah.
I definitely played it. I remember playing that deck more than I should have, mm-hmm. trying to get it to work. Yeah. Torterra was the one I was looking to see you talk about. But you did say, and I want to point this out, you said the word fun at the start.
Mm.
Are you the first person to say, Torterra is not it? Is it just an enjoyable deck to play?
I think it'll be like, it might just be maybe a little too slow, because if you're trying to rely on the Grottles, you're still going to be a little far behind. So you might have to play with like another attacker or something. It might be a little too slow, But maybe if you like go like early rare candy Torterra and then have your Grottles in the background feeding off each other, that might be the way to play the Torterra deck. Because it might be slow. It's like with Leonzard, you don't have to rely on like constant evolutions. You can just be like, all right, rare candy Charizard, start attacking, and then, you know, make sure you're chaining more. But with Torterra, you have to like set up a bunch of like Grottles and stuff. So, because you can't just go rare candy right away, because you want to have Grottle to, you know, keep searching through your deck. So it might border on fun. And also, if you have to play Manaphy in the deck too for a matchup, you're doing 50 less damage, which could, you know, make or break a matchup.
Yeah, because if something gets knocked out and you have Manaphy on the bench, it's essentially 100 less. Instead of doing 300, you're doing 200.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so it'll be a fun deck. I don't think it'll be like the best deck, but it'll be fun. And I'm sure there will be like many ways you could play it again with Cherim, or just kind of by itself with like an engine with like Bibarel or something like that, or even Cinchino, just kind of keep looping Torterras.
So, and feel free to tell me no, but this is another one I spent too much time talking to a friend about. Expanded Torterra with Lost Thunder Meganium and all the other grass box, your Vile Plume, Desi.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do consider, like, when I'm looking at new sets, I always take into account what kind of goes well in Expanded also, because it's not a popular format, or it's not one that people like either, but it's something that I still make videos on, and I like looking at it because the huge card pool, there's got to be some busted combos from new set releases. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. You also have Skyfield also, you can play with that. So you can do even more damage.
You could Oko literally everything. You could Oko Exodia. Yep. With that deck.
Exactly. Yep. You literally could.
Okay. I'm glad you're down, because I'm a fan of Expanded. For anyone who's new listening, because you saw the LDF tag or the Brilliant Stars tag 2 episodes ago, we had Stefan Ivanov on to talk about Expanded. I think it's fun. It's as fun as Standard, at least. I think that is the fair way to put it.
Well, the best comparison I've seen is kind of like Yu-Gi-Oh! In a way, where it's like you have these super insane turns. I was actually playing a lot of Archie's Blastoise today, and I just was like having 3-minute turns where I'm just like, my opponent's just sitting there watching me just like do all this like shenanigans with my hand. And then I go, okay, Archie's Blastoise, so I'm going to go get Dedenne and then draw more cards. Oh, got to find a Crobat now, draw more cards. And then out of nowhere, Mewtwo, Kingdra, Hydro Pump, 310 damage.
I love
it. It's like Yu-Gi-Oh!
Archie's one of my favorite. I tuned into your stream yesterday, Sunday, something like that, sometime this weekend, and you were playing Archie's, and I was like, this deck sucks, but I have to watch it because it's so enjoyable.
It's fun to play because it's really fun to, like, it's like a puzzle, because you have to, like, be smart with your early starting hand to make sure you don't misplay and throw and accidentally, you know, discard too many cards so you can't Archie's. I like that. I like how it, like, forces you to, like, kind of work like a puzzle. It's a good deck. Maybe, does Archie's get anything with the new set? I don't think so.
Not that.
Maybe Empoleon? No.
Not that I can
think of. Yeah, I don't think there's any new additions to the Archie's deck.
I've seen people do like Archie's with Lapras VMAX, and it's never good, but it's always
I tried that too. It's just kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it with Greninja V-Union and Crabominable V.
So, but, yeah. Speaking of Archie's, can I pitch a bad idea to you real quick? Or a very good idea? Ahead.
Yeah, no, I think I know where you're going with this one.
Are you Single Strike Muster Box?
Yep, I was about to say, yep, the Mustards. The Mustards get better with Lumineon and Ultra Ball. I'm excited to try those out. It depends on which one, like what the best partners are. I think Single Strike is the better one because of cards like Beedrill and Houndoom and even Emboar.
Cinderace.
Like, even getting that extra Houndoom in play, you have Cinderace. Yeah, even mustarding like an extra Houndoom in play can actually be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, Beedrill's the big one. And I don't think Beedrill's going anywhere because with the new double colors DTE coming out, it'll see even more play, in my opinion. I think the Mustards are going to be a lot better now because of Ultra Ball and Lumineon. My issue with the Mustards are when I try to make them work, it's like there's no way to find the Mustard itself except if you play Shady Dealings.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to kind of make your deck really clunky. But now that we have Lumineon, you can just go Lumineon, grab Mustard, and then just try to figure out a way to play your hand down. And I'm excited to try the Mustards too. I had those written down also, Lumineon, Ultra Ball, Mustard, because I'm like, they get way better with this new set. And finally, they'll be good because I just love these, you know, maxi Archie style decks. They're always a fun time to have them in the format.
No, I agree. I've played more Mustard this format than I should have, if I'm going to be completely honest, because of the Beedrill and not like the Galarian Meowth version, just like Rotom Phones and Oranguru and Pokégears and just like everything's burnable. And it's been super fun. But it's like, again, chatting with a friend who had a bad idea, but it's like you play the new stadium with the Cinderace. And so you can use the single strike energy. You can use the stadium with the Cinderace. You can use the Embor. Mm-hmm. Apparently, single strike Hitmonchan with Embor, single strike energy, and the new band will Oko a Jolteon VMAX. So that's apparently relevant damage.
that's a good point. I've always thought about Hitmonchan too. I've had it in a few of my single strike decks I've done because it's a good way to finish like a VMAX off for one energy. But I guess now it can actually start like two hit KOing like stuff. That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually ridiculously powerful because it's like, it's so nice. You don't want to mustard every turn. For anyone who never played Archies, you don't Archies every turn. You cannot. You will lose the game. You will run out of resources if you do that.
Yeah, you just do it once, and if your opponent maybe KOs you at some point, you might want to do it again. But maybe at that point, you've already kind of set up your other attackers, so you don't really need a Blastoise again.
Yeah, it's a very fun line to decide, like, okay, do I want to set up a second Blastoise, but then my bench space sucks, and I had to ditch all these cards? Can I afford to ditch all these cards? Mm-hmm. We're not an Archies podcast, but a fellow Archies aficionado, I gotta...
You gotta talk about it, yeah. Especially with the mustards kind of being good again. You know, I think the single strike mustard Beedrill kind of reminds me a bit of like when Maxi's Gallade was a thing back in the day.
That's before I played. So do you want to give a quick rundown of what that was?
Yeah, there was back in the day when before Maxi's Hidden Bolt Trick got banned. Maxi's got banned because of Kabutops and Amistar from Team Up. I think they panic banned Maxi's because they thought those cards would be too toxic for Expanded. Before they even came out, Maxi's got banned. But before Maxi's got banned, it was one of the best cards to play because you could play it with Gallade with Premonition. And I think back in the day, it was really good in Yveltal. I think Yveltal Maxi's Gallade was like a top tier deck. I'm pretty sure the Gallade was there for the Manectric matchup, if I remember correctly. I think Mega Manectric was popping back in the day. I think the Yveltal deck had the Maxi's Gallade, so it had a good win against that. And I think it was good against other matchups too. I think like Regice was one of them. My memory's a little bit of a blur there. Oh yeah, no, it was good against Darkrai too. Darkrai EX also was good back in the day.
Yeah, the good old Weakness.
Just having a fighting type was really good back then. Yeah.
Yeah, and for anyone,
this will be the same thing. Yeah, this will be the same thing. Just you're putting a Maxi mustard target in play that counters another top deck in the format. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I like the mustards because they just remind me of like back when people would play Maxi's Gallade, and the fact that we'll be in a format where that will be a thing again makes me really excited.
Same. I love toolboxes, decisions. Same. Who do I attack with? Yeah.
Yep. Those are my favorite kind of decks.
No offense to the Jolteons of the world, but you literally cannot misclick with that card.
No.
All right. Hit me with another deck. You heard my bad idea, which we both had the same bad idea. Like, give me a good idea this time.
I have, I actually put Shaman V-Star on my list here. I don't think the card is that good. Like, honestly, it probably won't be like the most competitive card ever, but Shaman V-Star, in my opinion, might be good with a few grass VMAXes. I think its V-Star ability heals 120 damage from like all of your grass Pokemon or something. I have to pull it up here real quick.
Yeah, I was also pulling it up. I was not ready for that one. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it heals 120 damage from like your grass Pokemon. So like you could play it with like Celebi or Orbeetle or something. It just like makes it easier for like them not to get KO'd. It doesn't make it easier for them to get KO'd. And I think its attack, I think Shaman V-Star's attack is like double V, where it does more damage for each prize
your opponent's taken. It's 120 plus 40 for each prize your opponent has taken. So
yeah,
it can
hit like
pretty
a better. Yeah, it's like a better double. It's honestly, yeah, like that's what I was saying. Like it could be a good addition to like these like big grass VMAX Pokemon, like Orbeetle and Celebi. Like, maybe it'll be good with Orbeetle. You just kind of have Orbeetle do its thing, and then, like, Orbeetle goes down, and then Revenge Burst is hitting, like, super hard. You've set up a bunch of Eerie Beam numbers, and then you've also healed, so you had, like, a few turns, because Shaman will be, like, kind of, like, the new Malolana for those decks, because healing 120 is the same as Malolana. But, yeah, no, I got Shaman on here, because I think it'll be a really cool addition to some of those big grass decks. I'm excited to try those out. So I've been playing a lot of Celebi VMAX on my stream. It's not really that good of a deck, to be honest, but it's super fun to play when you're playing against decks that don't have many ways to one a KO you, and they struggle to like constantly gust out your Celebis. You're just pivoting between them and healing with like Ice Pop and Cook and stuff. So I'm just like, oh, this will immediately go into my Celebi VMAX deck, and the deck will be like instantly better. And I'm like, oh, it could be good with Orbeetle because it kind of brings back a bit of, it gives you more healing, kind of like when Orbeetle had access to Mallow and Lana. Except you don't switch, which is a big deal, but still healing 120 damage is still really powerful.
Celebi VMAX heals 10 damage from all of your...
No, it's 20.
20?
Yeah, it's 20 damage for each Celebi. So you can have 4 in play and heal 80 damage from your grass Pokemon a turn.
That's the
and then
power creep.
The shaman. Yeah, exactly. And then if like that, my Celebi deck is just four Celebis. I'm like, I have Leafeon. I also threw an Orbeetle for the extra firepower. Mm-hmm. And I think like the main attacker is Celebi. Celebi's attack only does 130 damage. But get a search for any two Pokemon. So I'm like, oh, you can hit with Celebi, do 130, grab a Pikamiku every time, and then just draw a card and then put it back in the deck, get it back out with Celebi, and just kind of loop it. Then Celebi will be able to play Choice Band now, and then you can just start doing 160, two-shotting and healing. Yeah, I got Shaman listed for that reason. I guess there's other grass types. Maybe it'll be good with Leafeon, VMAX, maybe. I don't know. Healing 120 with Max Leaf combined might make it a big deal, too. You never know.
And being able to Raihan Oko could potentially be quite good.
Yeah, you could maybe play it by itself, too. I don't know. Play with, like maybe like a Big Charm or something. Make it a bit bulkier and then just play nothing but Shaman V-Stars. Every time one goes down, you're doing more damage. That actually might be a deck, too. Just play it by itself.
Yeah, I'm not in love with it, but I'm seeing options that I wasn't seeing when I actually looked at the set the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially you said Orbeetle, and that speaks to my heart. I do enjoy
it. Yeah, I know you're a big Orbeetle fan. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. We played the mirror match during the one tournament.
I remember. Yep. Mm-hmm. I have that highlighted on my channel because I'm like, dude, this is the weirdest mirror match ever. Like, how do you navigate this?
It was like so long and grindy. Yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got? Hit me with more ideas now that I'm into Celebi.
Yeah, I got Honchkrow on here, too. Honchkrow's like a big kind of meme. There's two different Honchkrow decks I thought of. There's Honchkrow with the new Pachirisu, which is like the new Trubbish tool drop deck. It's not like Whimsicott. You actually keep the tools in play. And then Honchkrow's ability lets it have four tool cards on it. So you just load it up with tools, and then Pachirisu's, I think, doing 50 for each tool card. And that's, like, not bad. And then Patrice, you can play, like, EXP Share and Raihan, so it's not hard to build it up. And that's, like, the first Honchkrow deck. And then, like, bro, every time I'm streaming, people always bring up, oh, bro, you gotta try out Honchkrow with, like, four capes or four choice spells. I'm like, what? But then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, but you have Gramble in the format, so one Honchkrow goes down, you just go net Gramble twice, get those four tools back, slap them back on the Honchkrow. If you're not playing against Path of the Peak, then, like, those tools will basically stay on unless you're, like, well, Tool Jammer Empath, actually. I don't know, like quad Honchkrow with like a bunch of random tool cards, like Spirit Mask even. You can like Marnie your opponent to four cards, they attack you, you put them down to like one or two cards in their hand out of nowhere. Like that'd be funny. Or Rugged Helmet even. Like there's just so many like weird combos. Even in Expanded, like you could play it with like a bunch of like Choice Bands or Muscle Bands or Cape of Toughness, I think is another one you can pair it with. You have
four Cape
of Toughnesses. Oh yeah, you can have four Cape Toughness and give it, I think, like 400 HP. Oh my god. So stupid.
That's a fun meme. This is definitely a card that wants that dark patch to come out. But
oh yeah, true. I was thinking like, how do you build it up? Maybe Hydreigon. But yeah, dark patch for sure. Or just Moltres E-Switch even too.
Turbo patch. That is still technically a card.
Oh yeah, turbo patch too.
I picked up four gold ones on PTCGO shortly after the set drop because I'm like, this is meta at some point, and I was off.
Yeah, it never took off. Yeah. I guess I saw a bit of play with Zacian and Jirachi, I think, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, it is. It was. I mean, like you said, yeah, it definitely showed up occasionally in some things, but it was.
Yeah, never took off. Yet.
Yeah, the keyword is occasionally. Do you ever play Honchkrow with, because I know I've seen this one for sure, the Whimsicott. Have you considered that at all? Tool drop's standard, right? I'm not wrong.
Yeah, Whimsicott's Vivid Voltage.
Okay, cool.
You could. My issue with that deck is you have to play a lot of tool cards. I've tried to build like Garbodor VMAX with Whimsicott because you can play two tools, but. It's like you have to play like all your supporters too. There's not a lot of room in the deck for everything. You could play the Honchkrow with like Garbodor though. There's a Garbodor, I think, it's Vivid Voltage or Rebel Clash. It's like a DC. It does 30 damage for each tool in your discard and shuffle them back in your deck. And it's also a dark Pokemon. You literally go twin energy, slap it on in the late game, one hit KO Mew.
Okay. So there's the.
So that could work with Whimsicott.
Okay. This is a deck that I think I'm a little higher on it than you are, just because I'm a big fan of the Whimsicott. Granted, we had U-turn board back, so that makes a very big difference.
Yeah, the U-turn board is like the big thing, I think. Because, yeah, you can only have so many tools in your thing at once, because you play too many tools, and you have to also play the supporters and the ball searching cards. There's not a lot of room for everything, I found.
Yeah, so even as cute as like Fog Crystal is to be able to play, it's not that helpful.
Yeah, I think Honchkrow. Yeah, you got to try it out. I think it'll still be good because now Whimsicott can start doing one of KOs because you can have four tools on one Pokemon or like eight on two.
You only got to attack twice. That's
exactly
that's all you got to do.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just hit twice and you win the game. That's true.
So do you want to get to some older decks, or do you have any more that I'm completely missing from the new stuff? Please tell me you don't have an Aggron deck. I refuse to listen.
No Aggron deck. Yeah, no Aggron deck. Well, there's one more deck I wanted to mention, and that was the Dog Box deck, where it's like you just play Raikou and Suicune and Entei with like Ludicolo. A few people brought that up because it's like, oh, it's the Johto Dog deck. You got to play it because you get all three legendary beasts. Raikou is like the worst like Suicune kind of S card, because Lightning is not as relevant right now. The only one it'll be relevant against is like Togekiss VMAX, which will indefinitely get better. We'll talk about that, I guess, when we talk about the older stuff.
And Suicune, don't forget.
Yep.
So you win the mirror match with the Raikou.
Exactly. Yeah. You beat other Suicune decks, yeah.
I've definitely considered
one deck, yeah.
The Dog Box. No, that's something that's come across my mind too. The ability is very good, should add to consistency. You can Melanie to all of them, which is still fine.
Really good. Yeah. You can play like Aurora Energy too. So you can have like whichever one you want to attack with, you have the energy for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's definitely something that I've considered. And it's like, are those weaknesses good enough to change the consistency of just Entei or just Suicune? Or I don't think just Raikou's ever a deck.
No, unless Togekiss becomes like S tier or something. But then Togekiss will play Dunsparce. So then you have to figure out a way to counter that too. So
I completely forgot Dunsparce reads. Mm-hmm. Dunsparce isn't like, oh my gosh, Jirachi GX was. Because Jirachi GX removed specific weakness. This one removes weakness from a type.
Exactly. Yeah, Dunsparce is going to be definitely like a two of in Togekiss, or even a one of. So Raikou might struggle against that. And especially if you're trying to use the Melanie engine, you won't have the boss that turn. So that might make a big difference for the Raikou decks.
Yeah,
but it does give you that type coverage. Yeah.
Like you said, Lightning is going to be a thing for sure, because, right? I mean, it might not be. Raichu could be a bust. It's just that feels unlikely to be a complete bust.
No, I think Raichu at the very least will be like a pretty like solid tier two deck. I don't know. It might be tier one. It might have the resources to be a tier one deck, but maybe not a tier, like it won't be BDIF or anything, but it'll be like a solid tier one-ish deck.
Yeah, and tier one is still pretty solid. Like,
Yeah, it's not going to, like, I don't know if Raichu can beat Mew, for example, like, or be on the same power level as Mew, but it'll definitely be, like, most likely a tier one deck, because it just hits the right numbers, has the right partners.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that deck won't be good.
No, definitely the few people I've seen playing it so far, and granted, it's not always the best to watch content creators feature a new deck versus an old deck, because lists are still unrefined and blah, 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 and you put more thought into the new deck as opposed to the old deck. But
the old deck, yeah.
It looks pretty solid. Arceus is just too good of a card, and being able to Oko is so good too. Yeah, it's
all right. I guess, and the Raichu deck can play Raikou too, I guess. So
that's what I've considered, right? You like kind of play a lightning box type thing, and the Raikou helps with one of your biggest weaknesses as Flaffy, which is bricking. You got attach, pass, attach, start hitting stuff until you eventually get set up.
Yeah, you got the Fleet Foot to help you out.
Yep.
And Raikou might be good with like maybe like a Rayquaza VMAX deck too.
Oh gosh, are we actually going to endorse Rayquaza here?
Yeah, I think Rayquaza got a bit of a buff with potentially Raichu. Even Arceus could buff it. Actually, we'll talk about Rayquaza when we get to the old deck part, because I have a few things I do want to mention on a few stuff like Rayquaza.
I'm fine. Let's jump into it now.
All right. So yeah, old decks. The first one I got listed here is Mad Party, because everyone's hyping that up right now. Because like everyone's like, oh, Mad Party's so good again because of the new Twin Energy. And then with Manaphy in the format now, you don't have to worry about getting bodied by Urshifu. I'm still kind of like, I don't know if I'm like sold on Mad Party though, because it still has a pretty bad weakness to Inteleon and Quick Shooting, because your Bunnelby just gets completely destroyed by Quick Shooting. And there's no like Dedenne in the format anymore either, which was another kind of big selling point of Mad Party, is being able to Dede change in a turn and research and do Poltergeist ability, made it really easy to like rack up damage. You don't have that anymore. The best you have is like Articuno. So I'm not sold on Mad Party. I'll still try it out. It does get a lot better though. Like the new Twin Energy Choice Band is another really good addition to the deck. And then I think Bibarel's like another card people have been playing in it, which might be better than like just playing like Crobats and Articunos. So
I'm kind of shocked to hear you say you're like not high on Mad Party. I was expecting you, the person who brought Mad Party to the standard format.
I know.
Format.
Yeah.
It's going to be all into it.
Yeah. Well, my issue too is like the new Twin Energy is good for the deck, but the better part was having the triple energy, because it didn't reduce your damage, and doing 20 less damage literally could make or break a situation. So I'm like, that's why I'm not 100% sold on it. It might be a good mid-tier deck, maybe. It depends also if like Inteleon falls off or not, because Quick Shooting just absolutely bodies Mad Party. Yes. They just get like two in play, and then if they have Medicham in their deck too, people are saying Medicham will see play with Ice Rider now too, because of the because you can do 280 with Ice Rider, ping with Inteleon, and then do quick shooting the next turn, and they get that extra turn out of it. So we'll have to see where that goes. I think Mad Party just doesn't have enough HP to do much. Maybe you got to play Gorbis with it to try to shut off quick shooting.
Ooh, and that feels bad.
Yeah, I guess you could play Zork.
Oh, that's true. And then you can Zork into the Poltegeist as well.
Yeah, I've tried that. Yeah,
I don't know why you'd want to, but you could. Yeah.
Well, it's Charizard V-Star, I guess, you know. If you play like a Raihan engine, you could just counter Charizard with that.
There we go. Wait.
Yeah.
There's, I'm not selling myself that would ever be good. No. But there's always that one-off situation where it's like,
well, exactly.
But if I do it once, then it's fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, for anyone who has played Mad Party for sure, you definitely have been in those situations, the early game especially, where you're like, I can hit about 200. And like you said, minus 20 is huge there, because then instead of the like, I can KO the Zacian, suddenly it's like, I'm never KOing the Zacian. Like, I'm not hitting 240 on turn one. Or what, evolving the even a Genesect? You have to suddenly hit 220 to KO a Genesect, which is that's a big number. 180, fine. Yep. 220. A lot harder.
It's not going to cut it. Yeah, especially, well, yeah, too. And there's all these new big V Pokemon like Raikou and Entei coming out now, too. And like the baby, like Arceus V, even if somebody starts with an Arceus V because they have to evolve into the V Star, that's another like V to go after.
Yeah, how much HP does that have? I think 220. It's 220. Oh, wow.
20, yeah. 220, yeah.
That is
so
thick.
Like, you have to do 240, yeah.
So yeah, that minus 20 actually could be very, very relevant.
Yeah, that's why I'm not completely sold on it. I think it'll be okay, though, for sure. It'll be okay.
All right, you've successfully unsold me on Mad Party. One of the decks, I literally was like, I need to go dig out, because I bought the Shining Vault promos.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this card is sick. It's going to be meta at some point. And now I'm like, I'll leave them in the binder. Yeah. Fine.
Mad Party gets Ultra Balls, too. That's another like addition, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. More discard is always good. But like you said, you can't discard, or you can't Ultra Ball for a Dedenne. You can Ultra Ball for Articuno and draw a card by discarding two more, like, it feels kind of bad.
That's why I'm like kind of like back and forth on if it's gonna be good or not. And yeah, another old deck is the Rayquaza VMAX deck. I guess we can talk about Rayquaza VMAX might be potentially a better deck now, because we can pair it with cards like Manaphy and Raikou. Manaphy nikes it, so now the Rayquaza doesn't immediately just lose to like Urshifu. They just rapid fire your Flaffies. You actually have like a way to stop that, which is good. And then also Rayquaza can also play the new Raikou. So you have like a nice two prize attacker that can hit hard and help you with the consistency. And you could even pair it with Arceus V-Star. You could just Arceus V-Star into a Rayquaza, build up energy on that Rayquaza. And then the next turn you could out of nowhere just like one shot something.
Ooh.
So kind of like an opposite Raichu.
That's an interesting one. I don't know if that would ever be better than Raichu, but that's an idea I've never thought of. I don't know why. Yeah. I keep not thinking of options for Arceus to have when... That's literally its attack. That's like its whole purpose is options.
Exactly. I think the thing with the Rayquaza build over the Raichu build, Raichu's like, I think Raichu has 200 HP or something.
Yep.
It's like super easy to KO. So I'm like, ooh, it's like you just have to get bossed up and KO'd. Mm-hmm. Rayquaza's, you got a bit of bulk. So you have like two decently bulky like Pokemon kind of going back and forth instead of just like a 200 HP like glass cannon.
That's true. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. And you can
and
rely
you get a Zorpulse.
Less on Flaffies as well in that situation.
Yeah, you could play like a Rose engine.
Yep.
And at any point in the game, you can save Arceus' ability to like find Rose or something if you really need to pop out of nowhere with an attack.
Yeah, which is, so yeah, you can play a thinner Flaffy line so you don't have to rely on the level balls and all that stuff, and it gives you the option to use the ability, like you said, the V-Star ability, which is... We just keep coming back. Every time we bring up Arceus, it's just like, the ability's very good.
Good, yeah. It's just, that ability is insane. Arceus, like, if you're building a deck, you literally just play like a 2-2 Arceus line. Because it's just like, there's no reason not to. Because, you're at a disadvantage if you have no V-Star power anyways.
Mm-hmm. It's just
like, every deck should play a V-Star power.
If you're playing ways to search out everything, it's like, I could see it. Because, like you said, 280 is so hard to hit on the bench. So it's like, I just search out two cards, the anti-brick measure. Yep. Yeah, it's
too good not to see play. You have to play it. And it doesn't feel bad if it's on your bench, right? You don't have to worry about getting bossed. Mm-hmm. Like with Crobat, every time I play Crobat in a single prize deck, every time I lose, it's because my opponent could just boss Crobat and get a near like an easy prize lead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just lost because of that. Because now I only have four single prizes to attack you with as opposed to six. With Arceus V-Star, they have to boss it twice. but that might not be enough for them to win because, you know, that's not going to KO it in the first hit. So that's why I'm like, Arceus V-Star, you might as well play it. If it's not really a big deal if it gets bossed, because it's not as easy to win a KO.
That's definitely a card. The early in the format when there's like three V, or there, I guess there's going to be five V-Stars that you can use, it's like, this is its time to shine, because eventually every type will have a valid one that you want to use.
Yeah, yeah. Next set, then we got like the Darkrai, which will like improve the dark decks more.
Yep.
Yep.
What else you got for old decks?
Eternatus VMAX, that's another one I've been seeing people hype up. Etern does gain a few new cards in the set. The first one is the new Lipard, which is like Zoark, basically, except it's not level ball searchable. So Lipard will help Eternatus a little bit. Eternatus is kind of known to like brick a lot. Even though you get access to four Crobats, the deck still kind of has consistency issues, which blows my mind.
It's always so disappointing. Like, yeah, especially when you dark asset like three turns in a row and you're like,
like, what are these draws? Yeah, exactly. Even with Ultra Ball coming back, I still don't trust the Crobat engine. But the big thing that Eternatus gets is the new Choice Belt, because now it's doing 300 damage. So now everyone's going to probably start playing the Goons again. So you just go two Goons, Choice Belt, one shot of VMAX.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing the Goons a little bit to see if it you ever beat Jolteon with it, because I'm like, oh, the Goons scoop up net, hitting 300s, no problem. The Jolteon matchup's still miserable, because... they just do
have
so
path,
much.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't actually KO them.
That's the one thing. Yeah, that's the one thing that turns me off about Etern, though, is Path of Peak and the new Stadium are probably going to see play, and that's probably going to make Etern is a lot weaker. But at the same time, it's like it gets stronger, but it still has ways to counter it. If Etern is VMAX becomes like a tier one deck and like becomes like one of the best decks in the format like over time, I think people will start teching for it and start playing more paths and the new Stadium, and fighting types might make a resurgence.
Yeah, that's definitely a world where Etern being the BDIF is ridiculously easily countered by Single Strike Urshi, Rapid Strike Urshi. Jolteon can come back because they don't have bench things and the path. And yeah, there's just like a lot that.
Etern is like, it's like it has so many good things going for it. It's got a draw engine, two draw engines, and then it has Moltres E-Switch. It can play Umbreon VMAX. You have a built-in Gust ability, and it has the ability to one-shot stuff. It's just, I think the weaknesses are might just be too big of a deal for it to like really not be good.
Yeah, they've given Dark all the tools in the world, and they can't use any of them, unfortunately.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's Eternals will be good with Brilliant Stars, and they'll get even better with Darkrai V-Star and Dark Patch. So,
yeah,
and for, we'll have to see about that one.
For anyone listening, the Darkrai leak just came really early. We don't get that.
Especially before like the set before that set, even.
I mean, oh gosh, there's... Lucky Japan. They just have, they're just so far ahead of us.
Yep.
All right. True. So Etern, the verdict sounds like, and I agree with you completely, it seems like it should be there, but also neither of us really believe it's gonna do anything. Yep.
It might turn up at like a tournament, win it, everyone hypes it up, and then immediately people are like, all right, I'm gonna start playing Path again, and then all of a sudden the deck goes back down a few pegs.
And Path also gets the cool ability of shutting down the Arceus V-Star ability.
Yeah. Path might just be like good in general right now, yeah. Just because if everyone's playing Arceus, there's no reason not to play Path. Or Lumineon gets shut off too, so that could be a big deal.
Oh yeah, because if people jump over to an Arceus engine, a Lumineon engine, which are both really good cards, like anyone listening, these aren't just like pipe dreams. These are historically very good. Well, one's a historically good ability. The other one
is probably
going to
make history. Yeah, it's going to probably make history. Yeah, 10 years from the road now, it'll be like, I remember Arceus V-Star. Yeah, I was historically broken. Oh, there's another Arceus V-Star. Yeah,
right. Just like being able to Shady Dealings and Inteleon on turn two or whenever you want to. Even better because it's any card. Yeah, it's just
any card. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Very blatant.
If you save it until the late game too, it can be boss for game a lot of the time. Also.
Oh yeah, that's the best part, right? It's like guaranteed I don't brick, but also if I don't use it, guaranteed that I win the game. That's
exactly.
Disgusting.
If I just hold on to it, yeah, it's so good.
And it can attack in every single deck.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of it because I don't think it's oppressive or anything like that. It's just a good card.
Good card. It's like an attacker and a support card in one.
It's back at Lele with Energy Drive. It kind of feels like that because like there's so many times you're like, oh, I'm gonna two shot your Lycanroc and you're gonna two shot me, and this is also my consistency Pokemon. Like it's so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
What else you got for old decks?
I got, I think Single Strike might get better too. Kind of talking about the meta decks now. There's two meta decks I think we definitely have to discuss here. Single Strike gets a bit of a push now because of Choice Belt. So now you have Single Strike Energy plus Choice Belt. Now GMAX One Blow doesn't need as much single strike energy to KO like a Duraludon, which could be pretty good. Also, you could even try out Gengar more now, because now Gengar has the extra 30 damage too. And I think Gengar is low-key potentially the best, like, all-around single strike Pokemon, because not only is it a one-shot machine, but it also is a dark type, so you just destroy Mew. But now I think with Choice Belt in the format, now you're pushing that extra bit of damage you need to start one-hit KOing stuff even easier. Because that's why when Gengar came out, me and Azul kind of took off with that idea of playing the Italian engine with Houndoom instead of, you know, everyone trying to play with, like, Umbreon as, like, a single-strike box deck. Because it's, like, quick shooting with Gengar is really good because you're able to take those KOs with the quick shooting plus the single-strike energy to push the damage. And Gengar is a very low-maintenance card. Mm-hmm. That first attack is insane. It's super low-maintenance. You can literally just go attach, attach, attack. You don't even need the Houndooms a lot of the time. So it's super low maintenance. You might as well, like, play the Italian engine, because you don't have to play with, like, Umbreon and Houndoom and treat it like an Urshifu deck. You can treat it like just a normal attacker that doesn't need all these single strike cards to push it. So I think that might actually put Gengar on the map now, and actually makes Gengar potentially better than playing single strike itself, like single strike Urshifu.
I'm so glad you brought that one up, because you started talking about Urshifu, and I'm like, oh, I've got to mention Gengar, because this thing, yeah. And the second attack, 250. Single strike energies plus the choice belt easily brings that to Oko numbers, much easier than single strike Urshifu. And like you said, also unlike
single strike,
it's not
as bad as the trade back.
You have Oh, that's true. You don't discard all the energies, which is massive.
Yeah, it's not a trade off. Yeah, you could just, like, play Hiding Dark or Switch, right?
Yep. Oh yeah, you just go Switch or Hiding Dark and then Switch again. Or, you know, there's some combination. Or because it's so low cost, you can potentially just set up a second one and go back into it. Or it's so easy. The first attack is easier to pull off. It's better and easier to pull off than Beatdown is on single strike Urshifu.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, and the thing is too, if Jolteon falls out of the meta because of Manaphy, then we'll probably see Gengar, you know, become better, because then it's like, well, single strike Urshifu is not as good anymore because Gengar is better than it. And since you don't really need to hit lightning for weakness as much anymore, then it's not a big deal. Because, like, you're like, oh, what about Raichu V? It's weak to fighting. Well, Raichu V is super easy to KO. Anyways, you don't need, you know, a fighting Pokemon to KO it. Because, like, you could just, like, hit it with the Gengar V itself with a single strike energy and knock it out.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing I completely forgot to mention. We were talking about how good Gengar is. The V does 180?
190. Yeah, it does 190 30 to itself.
That's not even counting the single strike energies we can put on.
Yeah. The other thing with Gengar, too, that I think makes it better is now that everyone's going to be playing V-Stars in their decks, that's another V-Pokemon they'll have them play, and Lumineon on top of that. So that makes it so Fear and Panic might actually just be its own kind of attack, where it's like, you don't even have to do Gengar's second attack. You can just do its first attack for, like, you know, 240 damage and just, like, two-shot stuff for two energy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and since it's so low maintenance, you don't need Houndoom.
Exactly. Right? It's two energies, so easy. If any Arceus deck has to bench a second V because it only accelerates to V, probably has to bench a third at some point because you can Oko them pretty easily regardless. And suddenly it's 180 for two energies, at least, not even counting the single strike energy. And you're still threatening Okos for three energies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. I generally think Gengar's stonks are going to go up with this next set. So single strike is the big one that I think will get better.
Agree completely. Yeah. It seems too obvious. That it's just like everything is there. Everything is there for this deck to be good.
Yep.
Even consistency, possibly, because it is so low maintenance.
Yep. I think one of the reasons why Gengar might get better also is because Mew's not going anywhere. I actually think Mew's just going to be even better now, because now it has a choice belt. You have a fifth power tablet in your deck. And on top of that, you have Ultra Ball in the format for Genesect, which is just so, so stupid. I think Mew's just going to still be the, like, probably the deck to beat. It might not be the best deck, because Gengar and I think the Hoopa Moltres deck becomes even better now with Manaphy in the format and Choice Belt. So I think Mew will still have a challenge to deal with dark types, but there's no way Mew won't still be, like, just ridiculously broken, because it gets even better with Choice Belt than Ultra Ball. Yeah. And the new Ice Cube, too.
We just have to bite the bullet, say, let's talk about Mew. So give us the Ice Cube.
Yeah. The Ice Cube, I think it does, for each Fusion Strike energy you have in play, you do 40 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon. So if you have all four Fusion Strike energy in play, you do 160 damage snipe, I think, to one of your opponent's Pokemon, which is so good. Now, obviously, this card does come out with Manaphy. My kind of take on Manaphy is, though, I don't know how popular Manaphy will actually be.
Thank you.
Other than just in single prize decks.
Yeah.
Mew's not going to play Manaphy. I don't think Togekiss will play Manaphy. I don't think Arceus V-Star decks will play it. I don't think Single Strike will play it, because why? What's the point? Like, I don't think Manaphy will see play with a lot of the big VMAX decks, except for the Inteleon Engine decks will play it. But other than that, I don't think many VMAX decks will play Manaphy, especially if all the snipe decks get scared off anyways. What's the point of playing Manaphy? You're just wasting a slot in your deck. You're not going to hit a bench snipe deck.
I agree.
So
Ice Q
will be that good. Yep. That's been on the back of my mind for so long. Everyone's hyping Manaphy up, and it's like, I guarantee you, when you build your deck, you're going to just not have it in your deck because you're not going to need it.
Yep. You'll put it in immediately, and then you'll kind of look around at the meta, and then you'll be like, I have too many cards. I'm cutting this one first. Because, like you said, everyone's going to stop playing the sniping decks immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that they'll come back. Don't worry, Jolteon players. You will be back. There's also text for Jolteon that I'll leak them later. Don't worry. But okay, there's text for Jolteon to beat the Manaphy regardless. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. I know which one you're talking about. Probably. I was going to bring that up too.
Oh, yeah. You can bring it up then if you. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think Manaphy's just not going to get played in most things.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%.
Most of the top decks won't play it. Duraludon's not going to play it. You know, like if single strike Urshifu Umbreon continues to be a good deck, I don't even think that'll play it because you don't really have the bench space for Manaphy. Because a lot of the time you're benching Crobat, you're probably going to bench Lumineon. You're going to have Umbreon. You got to have at least two or three Houndooms in play. So I just don't see most of the top decks playing it, except for a few, maybe Suicune, Ludicolo will play it, or the Dog Box deck. The Flaffy decks will obviously play it. But even then, like, if there's no reason to play it because there's like only like two or three snipe decks in total in a tournament, then what's the point of playing this one card that will not be good? But maybe if Ice Cube pops off, then maybe there's a reason to play Manaphy. But again, most of these top tier decks have no reason to play Manaphy.
Agreed. 100%. I love any time. You're not the first guest to say that. You won't be the last guest to say that. I want everyone who can say it to say it. Manaphy doesn't destroy sniping decks. Manaphy is not an auto include in everything. It's good. Yep. I'm glad it exists.
Same. Like, every time I build a single price deck, a Manaphy is going in it.
Oh yeah. It's going in Charizard. It's going in Leonzard. Yep. It's going in, I don't know about Torterra. It's going in Mad Party.
I don't know
if Torterra
exists.
Yep. It's
It'll go in all the single prize decks, but the big VMAX decks, which are the meta, not going to play it. Yep. Or most of them won't anyways.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. Everyone's like, oh, Manaphy coming out. Rapidshock Urshifu is going to be the worst deck now. Rapidshock Urshifu, if anything, gets better because now you have a way to KO Arceus V-Star in one hit. Even if you don't have Rapid Flow, Urshifu was still like the best deck in the format when Mew existed. People found a way around that before Medicham and Inteleon took off.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. If it could survive the Shadow Rider meta and the Dragapult meta, and it still wins or top cuts a lot of tournaments now with Mew being 25% of the meta in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely. And it gets, oh, the Lumineon. It's easily KOable with a Sight, Rapid Flow, Passimian play.
Yep. There's no way that's not going to be good. I mean, also, you could just like boss the Manaphy and say, you have no way to put that back into play. Then, all right, Rapid Flow next turn, anyways.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Melanie Urshifu deck might fall out of favor because that deck doesn't have a way to deal with Manaphy.
Mm-hmm.
That might fall out of favor depending on how big Manaphy gets. But I don't see Urshifu going anywhere. Jolteon, maybe. But Urshifu itself is just still good. Maybe Urshifu wouldn't be as good if Arceus didn't exist, because having an easy way to knock out Arceus is just insane. But I don't see Urshifu going anywhere at all. I think it'll still be a potentially top-tier deck.
And I know someone's yelling at their headphones right now. Arceus has Dunsparce. Remember, double quick shooting plus Medicham.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Rapid Strike Urshifu is like, that's sick. Please bench it. Like, I got this.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think Urshifu is going anywhere. I think it'll still be good. It'll help when you have a single prize deck and your opponent flips over the Urshifu and you can just play Manaphy. Because Manaphy can't get killed by quick shooting and Medicham as easily.
Mm-hmm.
So single prize decks won't auto lose to Urshifu, but I think Urshifu can still beat all of the big decks. Maybe not Mew, because Mew is, you know, going to hit you for weakness, but if you play smart with the Genesect Snipes, you might be okay.
In addition to the single prize decks won't be getting completely bodied because it's 70 HP Pokemon, single prize decks also play net. So if your deck doesn't play net, that Manaphy is also going to get just go quick shooting once and then double quick shooting Medicham on the next turn. And then the same thing will happen. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Also, when all the single prize decks that play Manaphy, they're going to be playing Rod or Carrier anyways. So they'll have ways to get the Manaphy back.
Yep.
But yeah, no, most of the big meta decks aren't playing Manaphy, in my opinion.
Agreed. So Mew also gets Ultra Ball to thin the hand. Are you going to test double turbo energy? Do you think that's good, or do you think the just not worth it?
No, I think the reason why Mew is just so good, I feel like, is just because of the Fusion Strike Elisa Sparkle Meloetta combo.
Yeah.
Especially now with, like, you know, the way the format's going to shape, I actually think having that kind of tempo is still going to be just as good, unfortunately. The only way that deck falls out of favor is maybe if, like, I mean, Dark will become good still. Like, Dark will still be insanely good, and then the next set, Dark gets even better. Mm-hmm. But I don't see Mew getting slowed down anytime soon, unless they, like, Arata Genesect. That might be the only way to make the deck, you know, not S tier.
Yeah, and that's
that's my one plea.
We know that's not happening. They will happily print. Well,
someone in my chat did say once that they know somebody who is like a professor that said they've heard rumors that they're looking into a rotting Genesect, but I don't know if that's true or not. That could be cap, but it's like, it, you know.
That's one of those, I'll believe it when I see it. Until I've got my four Genesects ready to win Salt Lake City with.
Exactly. Yep, I got the Genesects. Like,
it ain't for sure. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that card's so stupid. Anyway. And I think one of the best pieces of advice for anyone listening who might be a newer player or anything, if a card is so good you think it should be banned, you should be playing that card. Like, that's... you can still complain about it, but also, if you want...
You might as well play it.
Exactly, yeah. It's
kind of like with ADP back in the day, I found. A lot of people that complained about it, they played it anyways, because, like, can't beat them, join them. But the card is just too good, you still want to play it.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
All right. Other decks that we've talked about a lot of the big ones.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to think if there's anything else that you've got hanging around some that you are a much more creative person than I am.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. There's all the colorless decks that I wanted to kind of mention.
Oh yeah.
Tokus VMAX is the one everyone's hyping up right now because of the new Charon. And then also the fact that it can work with the new double color synergy. Tokus will most likely be a pretty solid deck, because its numbers are a little weak, because it only does like 100 damage with the DCE on. Depending on the list, though, you know, you play Arceus as backup, so you have a 200 damage attacker, or you'll still play the quick shooting engine, so you still have extra ways to do even more damage, and then you have choice belt on top of that. And depending on how popular Marnie stays, like, Togekiss could be like a really strong deck. And with the new Charon, I think Togekiss will be a top tier deck. I really do believe that. There's also, like, the lightning attackers are kind of, like, mid, like, other than Raichu. There isn't really a lightning Pokemon that can, like, body Togekiss. So I can see that deck getting infinitely better.
No, that's definitely... Charon's such a good card, and doing 100 a turn,
like,
Snorlax
is fine. VMAX, too.
How are you powering up the Snorlax without triple?
You can just play the Turbo Energy and, like, Melody or something.
Let's go.
Well, it has 340 HP, right? So you can, like, maybe slap, like, a big charm on it, 380 damage. Or you could just play a stall deck.
I mean, I was a big fan of the Pidgeotto Snorlax with the triple acceleration energy.
Yeah, that was a pretty sick deck.
Yeah, so if Snorlax becomes good, I'm all for it. But I'm in. I forgot you can Melanie, because then you Charon on the next turn in order to go into something else.
I think Snorlax Charon could be like a control-y stall deck where you just sponge hits Charon, Palpad them back, or play a Zumarill or something to get them back. That, like, that could be like a fun little, like, stall deck, kind of like Wailord was back in the day.
So you can use the word fun in front of that if you want. Yeah. I don't know if I'll use the word
I would
fun.
Say fun. Maybe not for the person playing against.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got for colorless? Or was that the Snorlax?
Yeah, I think it was just those two. Togekiss and Snorlax are kind of like the only two colorless Pokemon that get like a big boost, I think.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I can think of. Because the problem is Welder screwed over because Cramorant and Dubwool.
I was thinking that too, Cramorant and Dubwool are just not very good. Cramorant got screwed so hard because of triple energy and Porygon leaving.
Yep.
I tried it with like Cryogonal or something silly, and it's like, nah, the card just ain't it.
That's unfortunate. I love that card. I love that card.
It went from being one of the funnest decks in the format to just all of a sudden, like, completely mid.
Yep. Are we going to get into questions from Twitch chat?
Yeah, we can get into that. I'm down.
Awesome. So we've got a couple, and I'm also marking time. First one. Oh, we already talked about Mad Party. But just officially answer it real quick for Captain Wonder. Is Mad Party the BDIF?
No, I think it'll be just kind of mid-tier. Because I feel like it does have too many weaknesses for it to work.
Yep.
It's still good, though.
Unfortunately,
it'll be quote-unquote good. It probably trades really well into, like, you know, single strike. Maybe even Mew VMAX can be beatable. But you'll struggle against the Inteleon decks, and sometimes you'll just have those turns where you just don't do enough damage, and that could make or break a game.
Yeah. Quick shooting is good, and unfortunately, playing 8 Pokemon that do literally nothing is bad. Surprise.
Yep. Exactly.
The Gyroscope Eevee asks, will Bibarel Liepard actually see that much use until Crobat rotates? Is there actively a need for cards like them?
100%. I think, well, Liepard, Cinchino's just a better Liepard. There's actually a new Mincino, I think, in the set that has Call for Family. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure somebody pointed that out. Yeah, because I was watching another podcast. Somebody pointed that out. I didn't even know that. That's insane.
It is.
But
so
no,
good.
Cinchino, yeah. Cinchino is definitely just a better Liepard because it has 90 HP, so it's level ballable. And it has an attack that sometimes can actually win games because doing 40 energy attachment is good. Liepard will be good for E turn. When Cinchino rotates, Liepard could see play. Bibarel, I just think Bibarel is great because there's like Abyssal Hand was just such a nice ability to have in the format. It's also a good budget ability. Y'all probably will know who I'm going to refer to here when I'm going to talk about Octillery. Sushi Master, Dark and Charcoal Gaming. It'll be the new Sushi Master. If you're building a budget deck, instead of having to play Inteleon, because Drizzles are expensive. I had to buy Drizzles for IRL when I was getting back into it. It was like $30 for a playset at Drizzle's, which is absurd.
Yep.
And that's not budget friendly at all.
No.
Bibarel will be budget friendly. Just play like a 2-2 line or a 3-3 line. It'll be the easiest budget thing ever. I think Bibarel is great. Bibarel might be better than the Inteleon engine because
it's heard it here first.
It's just good. With Ultra Ball with it, there's no way that card won't at least be a good like kind of engine for some decks.
I actually agree in that. I don't think it's gonna be better than the Inteleon engine, but I do think it will be better in certain situations.
Yeah.
So it's like
if Stamp was still in the format, it would be cracked.
Oh gosh. If only. Mm-hmm. I miss Stamp. But yeah, it's the fact that, or even anything that did anything like that.
Yep.
Yeah, the fact that it's so small. You can play a 2-2 line.
It frees up a lot of deck space.
Exactly. And it makes Ultra Ball the optimal play because it thins your hand. And the combination of those two things, I think, is so good.
Yep. I think the only thing holding Bibarel back is it doesn't have a way to be searched out with Level Ball.
Yes.
But since you can just play the Ultra Balls instead, it's not that big of a deal. But that is like the one thing that holds it back. It isn't level ballable, which is a bit of a big deal, but I don't think it's that bad overall. I think Bibarel is like secretly like broken.
I actually think it is.
Yeah.
I'm all for being able to play Bidoof in competitive decks.
That's true. Yeah. You get to use like one of the biggest meme Pokemon. You can use the Bidoof sleeves now and like actually like match the deck with it.
Oh, but I mean, the Bidoof sleeves are so good on.
Best sleeves ever printed.
I see you always use the blingy sleeves, and I gotta say, you gotta Bidoof it up a little bit more.
Gotta sleep on the Bidoofs.
Yeah, like all the gem ones are really cool, but also
gotta sleep on the Bidoofs, yeah. And before they don't come to life.
Oh gosh. There will be riots if that
there probably will be. Yep. I agree.
Stellar Wish Gaming asks, what is the best Brilliant Stars card besides Arceus V-Star?
I think that's going to be Choice Belt. In terms of impact on the game itself, it's always Choice Belt. Mm-hmm. That 30 damage will just, like, anything just becomes immediately better with that. Anything in the format will be better. All the single prize decks are better now because they're either two shiny V-Maxers or they can actually hit for weakness in one shot. And then it also just makes other decks, like, have better math. Like, Mew V-Max has a fifth tablet. We talked about Gengar getting better now. So yeah, it's Arceus, and then I think Choice Belt is like the next impactful card in the set. Or even, honestly, it could be even more impactful than Arceus to a degree, because there's decks that might not use Arceus, and like they'll use Choice Belt. But I think Choice Belt is just right below Arceus, though. Like, it's definitely like the next best option.
I'm looking through, and I'm between that and Ultra Ball right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to say Ultra Ball's not absolutely ridiculous, but also, like you said, the plus 30 is massive in a format that has felt like I'm always a little shy of an Oko. Guaranteed plus 30 is so huge.
Ever since Choice Band rotated, I have been preaching on Twitter that we need a Choice Belt in the format. I would have said that you need it for non-Roblox Pokemon to balance it out a little bit.
Yes.
But I think that needed to be in the format for like single prize decks to get better. Like, I'm not saying it'll like make single prize decks like tier one overnight, but it'll like make it so it doesn't feel as bad to play them now. And it'll feel good when, you know, you slap a Choice Belt on, I don't know, Regidrago, and you do 270 damage to like a V-Star, knock it out one hit or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's just 100%. Like,
it's just it needs to be in the format for single prize decks to thrive, because they don't make the single prizers as like, they don't power creep them along with the V-Maxes. Mm-hmm. They keep them at the same level where they're just doing very minimal damage. But now that there's a way for them to two-shot V-Maxes, just two-shotting is all you need sometimes to, like, win a game. Especially with, you know, something like Bibarel or Inteleon, you don't have to, you make him go through six prize cards while you're two shotting slash one shotting stuff.
Oh yeah. So I'm between the two, but I can definitely co-sign. Don't sleep on Choice Belt making a massive impact in the format.
Mm-hmm. I'm still 50-50 on Ultra Ball because it's just like there's still so much competition. Ultra Ball will see play with a few decks, obviously, the Barrel Engine decks, and then Mew will obviously play four of it. But other than that, I don't know how popular. Like if Ultra Ball, I think it'll see play. Every deck will play an Ultra Ball, but not going to play four, I think. It'll maybe like two or three at most.
There's something like Suicune and Inteleon where you never get a hand that's big enough to want an Ultra Ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
You might play a couple. But like you said, that deck like that, you're probably not really going to play that many of it as good as the card is. Versus, but I played too much Mew where I'm just like, this card's absolutely broken.
I played a lot of the Fusion Strike deck in Expanded. Not Mew, but a Meloetta, like Elisa Sparkle engine deck with Special Charge. I've done so many games with that. Ultra Ball is what makes Genesect in that format just ridiculous because you got Quick Ball, you got Nest Ball, but then you have Ultra Ball, which just puts Genesect on another level.
Oh, yeah. I played the Skyfield Mew. Just with the DCEs, and it's disgusting just to be like,
it is.
All right, I'm going to Lele, draw a million cards with the Genesects, and I'm going to Ultra Ball to thin everything out. And it's like, oh, look, I've got 10 cards left, and I've used Fusion Strike System to draw up to 8-4 times in a turn.
Yeah, I had a game against a Genesect deck when I was playing a Blaziken Zero Aura deck. I had a game against Mew VMAX in Standard. And on their second turn, they had 12 cards left in their deck. I was like, bro, how does that even happen? That should not be a thing in Standard.
Oh no!
But it's going to be a thing with Ultra Ball. That's going to be even more common.
Heck yeah. You got those awkward hands where it's like, I have too many bosses or battle VIP passes.
Yep.
Nah, I'm good. And I'm going to get the Mew VMAX out of the deck at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It searches for Mew VMAX while it thins your hand after Genesect, which is absurd.
Oh, I hate it so much.
Mm-hmm. See?
Nixter asks, which made the format better during their time in Standard, ADP or Mew VMAX? It's a fairly loaded question.
I think the answer is Mew VMAX, because like, yes, it's bad for the game, and it's a really ridiculously powerful deck that is like arguably one of the best decks we've ever seen in, of all time. The problem with Mew to compare to ADP, I brought this up before in the past, but ADP made the game actively worse because it warped the game around the card itself in a bad way. ADP was so good that it gate kept so many single prize decks out of the format, and then it made cards like Crushing Hammer become immensely popular. Every deck was playing four hammers, so all the games were like basically down to who flipped more hammerheads, and that was because of ADP. If ADP wasn't a thing, Hammer would not have been as popular. So Mew, that thing with Mew is it makes these interesting dark decks spicy. Like the Hoopa Moltres deck was like a kind of a meme deck before Mew came out. And now that Mew's out, it's legit one of the best decks in the format. And that's cool. The fact that a single prize deck like that, a deck that unique is so good, is because of Mew. So that Mew definitely had a better impact on the game than ADP. They both had negative impacts, but if we're talking, if we're going to compare the two, Mew 100% made the game better instead of more than ADP anyways. So
I co-sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
PTCGO 2025 asks, what is the worst V-Star?
It's a tie between Whimsicott and Glaceon. Glaceon, I mean, they're both, like, niche. I think Glaceon might be the worst. Whimsicott is just kind of bad, though, because in theory, it's cool. It's got a Chaos Wheel attack where you shut off, like, tools and special energies, I think. The problem is, most of the decks that play the special energies, albeit the double colorless energy decks, will be able to counter you. The problem is, if you're playing Whimsicott versus Single Strike, well, they have Houndoom. If you're playing against Mew, I'll just go Elisa Sparkle. No big deal. So I'm 50-50 on that card being good. Plus, you have to play with, like, Shadow Rider, potentially, to build it up. And that's, like, you have to play a three-prizer. You could play it with, like, Hammers and Fans. So if they actually get the energy in play, you can just put them back into the deck. But I think Whimsicott is just, like, right now, with our small card pool of V-Stars, is the worst, theoretically. But we'll see. Glaceon, the reason I say Glaceon could be good is because, like, it's a water type that can, you know, maybe knock out stuff. Whimsicott, I think, does 160. It can't one-shot Rapid Strike. Whereas, like, Glaceon, at least if fire pops off all of a sudden, you have a decent water Pokemon, so.
Yeah.
I would probably say Whimsicott, unfortunately, but we'll have to see with that one.
I like the Whimsicott V-Star attack. The, like you said, Tricky Wind is just so mediocre for a million reasons.
But, yeah.
60 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon for each energy attached to this Pokemon. So there's a world where you shove an EXP share on it and Shadow Rider, something like that. I don't, it's not good, but it's like there's a world where this is a massive snipe attack.
Yeah, if you don't play against a Manaphy deck or a deck that has Manaphy or they don't have the Manaphy in play, then that actually could be a pretty big attack to use. But yeah, now Whimsicott, I don't know if that's the worst then. I don't know. That V-Star power actually might make it better than Glaceon. I don't know. It's tough.
But it's just like it's so unplayable everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's so easily countered by boss KO your six energy Whimsicott you were trying to use later.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it's fine. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a 1-1, but I think the Alcremie is just better. And then
I think over time it'll get better because we'll probably get more special energy as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And then like those big special energies won't be easy to put in a play through like a supporter or an ability. So then Whimsicott kind of gets more value. Mm-hmm. But just right now, I feel like the special energy heavy decks can counter it anyways with like Houndoom and Elisa Sparkle.
Yep.
So
last question, because the rest of them we've already answered throughout the pod. DA Askew asks, Aggron, good deck or fun one of in Bronzong decks?
Let me see. Aggron.
And I'm pretty sure Aggron... neither of these is correct, by the way.
No, yeah. I think Aggron is just kind of, just 270 for like five energy. It's a good meme. It's probably just pretty bad. There's Battle Metal VMAXs. Like, you might as well just play Corviknight, which is just a better Aggron. It doesn't do as much damage, but it needs way less energy and has like an actual decent ability and a free retreat cost.
Yeah, both of which are very good.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've told DA.
I'll still probably
times.
Play it. Yeah.
Am I going to see on Little Dark Fury's YouTube channel an Aggron VMAX deck?
Probably will. I'm definitely going to have to do a video on it regardless of how good it is just for the memes, but it's definitely not. Nah, it's not going to be a one of them Bronzong. I'm pretty sure both attacks just aren't worth playing, unfortunately.
I mean, Max Takedown does KO, even with the Choice Belt, actually. It is just shy.
Yep.
That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. That would have made it.
Yep.
Still bad.
You can KO V-Stars, but you might as well just play Corviknight with a Choice Belt anyways to do that.
Yeah.
So you're doing 270. Because when more V-Stars come out, like the new Lucario and Darkrai, and then we'll probably see other V-Stars in the next set with low HP, like 270, then that'll be more relevant. Nah, but yeah, Aggron is just a worse Corviknight.
It's just bad.
Or it's a worse Zacian, to be honest, too. That's another way to look at it. It's a worse Zacian.
Unfortunately, literally everything that is metal type is a worse Zacian.
Yep, that's just the sad reality of it.
That's how it felt all the time. I was playing Copperajah a while at the start, and it was just like, everyone who came in is like, why aren't you just playing Zacian? Because Elephant, let me just do my thing.
Or like, why are you not playing Scizor or VMAX? Scizor, he's a cool Pokemon.
Right.
I think Corviknight is like the only one that kind of broke the mold, but even then, like, you never see Corviknight at the top tables.
No, but Fruit Retreat, Memory Capsule Clutch, they're both playable.
It's decent.
Yeah, exactly. So LDF, if people want more of you or they like these ideas and they want to watch you play some Brilliant Stars when it comes out, where can they find you?
You can find me over on my YouTube and Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LittleDarkFury, youtube.com/LittleDarkFury. But yeah, I'll probably be playing, like, I do daily uploads, so every day you'll see a new Brilliant Stars video. Because of the amount of content I can think of with the set, you might even see a day where I upload two different videos. You never know. I've done it before.
That's impressive. As someone who does four videos a week and struggles to do that, I can't even imagine eight videos or nine videos a week.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed by that work ethic.
Thanks. And yeah, I'll be definitely be streaming the new decks too, probably the night and day they come out, and now I'll be streaming them and having a lot of fun with them. I'm definitely gonna be playing the wackier stuff, obviously. That is what the channel's all about. It's all the rogue stuff. So if you're looking for the fun rogues, definitely check out the channel.
And of course, myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube @Mello_Magikarp. Remember to rate and review the podcast. If it's your first time here, hit that subscribe button in Spotify or iTunes or whatever it is, because we have episodes every week, pretty much. We've missed a couple weeks because of the holidays, but every week talking about the meta or alternate formats or whatever. And we've got more Brilliant Stars content coming up. But this has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.
Peace.